you looking to fine-tune? Whether for your business, your job, your team, or yourself, in each episode, we will be discussing different ideas and opinions using real-world examples to help you see opportunities, innovate, and succeed. Hi, it's Corby Fine, and welcome to Fine Tune. So today on my podcast, I have Diana Liu, and Diana heads up a big chunk of the Canadian LinkedIn business. I've known Diana for many years. She's grown with the company. She's moved around the world and has one of the jobs that I have personally always aspired to in a company that I have always been completely enamored with, which is LinkedIn. So Diana, welcome to my podcast today.
Corby, thanks for having me.
I really appreciate you taking the time. Why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself and how you've progressed in your career at LinkedIn?
Yeah. So as you mentioned, I run the advertising business for LinkedIn, or the marketing solutions business here in Canada and a segment in the US. I've been with LinkedIn for nearly 10 years now. And so fortunate enough to join the company when we opened up shop in Canada in 2010. I think that's around the same time that we had met. And I've held various different roles always on the ad side, within account services, leading sales, and doing this across the globe. And so I'm happy to be back in Canada and working on the Canadian business and really helping connect companies and brands with the people they care about most at scale.
And obviously, LinkedIn has many different aspects to its business. You mentioned the marketing solutions, advertisers trying to reach targeted audiences. Can you talk a little bit about the other core elements of what makes up the current LinkedIn platform?
Yeah. So I'll talk about our commercial businesses and then spend a couple seconds on LinkedIn.com. But we have marketing solutions. So again, for advertising, our talent solutions business that really focuses on the recruitment aspect or the talent management process. We have our sales solutions business, which is really an instance of LinkedIn that allows sales folks to sell socially and to get warm introductions into the people that they care about most. And then our learning solutions business, which is, again, learning, right? We bought lynda.com a few years ago and rebranded it to Learning Solutions. And then we have linkedin.com as a platform, the free platform that members come to connect, to engage, to network, to learn, and to get hired.
So Sales Solutions is the platform that I have to blame for all of those 5:59 p.m. emails and calls from all kinds of software salespeople trying to sell me things.
Well, maybe that, or the fact that you're in a position of authority where you can make decisions on what type of software or things that people buy.
So the platform works.
The platform works.
So I have always been a fan of the platform. I use it for a whole bunch of different purposes. And one of the things that I've always found about the platform is that I am managing my professional profile. And on all of the other social media platforms, I'm a little less serious. I'm a little less careful, I'll say, about the things that I say, the things that I share. And I've always said that, and particularly tied to your business, if I'm an advertiser and I want to reach the right people, LinkedIn penalizes people for lying. And sometimes lying is unfortunately intentional, but often it's just a byproduct of the actions that people take. Case in point, let's go with, do you have a Facebook profile?
I do.
And when's the last time you went into your Facebook profile and actually did an inventory of all the things that you like?
Never.
Nobody does. And now imagine all of the brands and advertisers and companies that are going to spend good money to try and target you on things that you may have liked or clicked like because they had a contest 7 years ago. That's not necessarily as effective as what I might want to be targeting someone on, which is the current truth. And so I've always had this premise that LinkedIn is the single social platform that penalizes you for intentionally or unintentionally not telling the truth in 100% fashion. What's your take on that?
Well, my take generally is don't lie. that's probably not a good thing. And I think from a penalizing standpoint, maybe that's a little too harsh, but I do think that, you know, when people come to LinkedIn, they do operate a little bit differently than other platforms, right? This is your professional profile of record, and how you operate on LinkedIn doesn't have to be robotic, but it certainly is a reflection of who you are as a person and a professional. And so, you know, on the platform, we find that people tend to keep their information up to date a little bit more, right? When they have new accomplishments, new jobs, something new in their life, it goes onto LinkedIn right away. We also find that, again, like, people are a little more cautious when they're commenting or sharing posts, because their colleagues, their bosses, people, their clients can see what they're saying. And so, again, you know, it's great that people express their point of view, but they might think twice, double check the spelling before they post something.
You just brought up two really good points. You said your boss can see what you're posting, which I think people need to be very aware of, whether you're the boss or the employee. Have you ever, well, and the second thing, I'll come back to the first one, was a little bit more around constantly updating. And so personally, one of my tips, and I am going to come back and ask you for yours, is I've always tried to update my LinkedIn profile as I accomplish things. And much like a resume or any document that is sort of living, you want to make sure that if you do something, you record it, because 2 years from now, 3 years from now, who really remembers? Do you see a lot of people taking advantage of the platform in that way? Or is that just a sort of best practice that you recommend?
Yeah, not as many people as I'd like to. It certainly is a best practice. And again, to your point, it's something that you can come back to, but it's also, you know, that accomplishment of yours or that thing that you did, that could be helpful for someone else in your network, right? And so I'm a big fan of updating your profile on a regular basis, whether it's, again, if it's a new job, you have this new podcast, you posted it to your network, that's great, right? Because now people in your network can see what you're up to, and it just creates another connection point or another reason why someone can reach out to you.
I've always kind of considered myself a bit of a super user on the platform.
Me too.
And yourself or me?
You.
And I appreciate that. See, coming from you, that's like a super awesome, like, I can't even tell you what that means.
It's a high endorsement.
But anyway, thank you. I'm going to ask you to like this when we're done. So I've always found a few things that I do. So I've just given you one, which is when I have an accomplishment, I try and record it and update it. But another thing that I've done that I've had a bit of, let's say, controversy with over times with other people, is I don't mind accepting people into my LinkedIn network that I've never actually met. And this gets a little opinionated at times with different people. You know, Facebook, when I'm going to have pictures of my kids and my family, I'm a little bit more sensitive to who I accept. But I find that with LinkedIn, you kind of never know when that virtual connection might actually turn into something real downstream. I'd love to get your opinion on that one.
Yeah, so Corby, that is actually a big debate within the walls of LinkedIn as well. Some people are of the school of thought of not accepting everyone into their network, and others, similar to you, don't mind accepting them. I think for me, my perspective is, if I've met you at something or we've had a meeting, then I'll generally connect with you. If you saw me speak at an event or we ran into each other and we didn't actually have a conversation in person, but you sent me a connection request and you told me, hey, we met at this event, I'd love to talk to you for XYZ reasons, I'll likely accept it as well. The ones that I generally don't accept are connection requests with no context, you know, from a random stranger. And usually because I start to see if they're really active and they're not someone that I think I know or have met in any sort of common capacity, they usually populate my newsfeed with not that great content, you know, similar to, again, like, think about Facebook, think about Instagram. I wouldn't say very specific, but I'm specific about what I put into my newsfeed. I want to make sure that I have a diverse perspective, that I have a lot of content coming through, but I'm not being weighed down by content that isn't relevant to me at all. And so I'm probably a little less accepting of connections than you are, but much more accepting than most folks who have the filters where you actually have to have their email address to connect with them.
Well, you also work for the company. So, you know, I'm sure everybody's reaching out to you all the time, probably for a job half of the time, but
yes, usually.
So now let's take that and flip it back to your core day-to-day. What is the kind of advertiser profile that really says, hey, LinkedIn is the right environment for me because I can trust in the profiles of the people I'm targeting. I know that the platform has, you know, quality advertising options and solutions. Like who is the average advertiser? I'm not really sure a lot of people realize the kinds of breadth of organizations that take advantage of LinkedIn from that perspective.
Yeah, I mean, my dream list would be every advertiser, right? Because they have something to say on the platform and they can reach the more than 675 million members we have globally. The ones that we see on the platform a ton, obviously your usual suspects of technology companies, financial institutions. So think about your large enterprises. Most of them have a presence on LinkedIn. You also have a lot of SMBs that are coming onto LinkedIn for various different reasons, because they do find that, hey, if they're trying to generate leads, this is a really great platform to, again, get in front of the people that you care about most in this trusted environment. I think the place where we haven't seeing a ton of traction is maybe the CPGs and retail companies where your end conversion product, like your end product, isn't that expensive. So we always say, hey, we're a great platform for B2B advertisers and then high consideration B2C.
I would think on some hand that those CPG type companies that don't necessarily have direct relationships with customers might think about a LinkedIn as an interesting way to target individuals and get a bunch of information and data about the types of people that choose to interact with their brand without having to go through the sort of the middle tier of the retail distribution platform.
Yeah, that's a great use case. But I mean, you know, in your capacity, we've had conversations about advertising on LinkedIn before. And if it's, you know, if you're thinking about it from a brand perspective, it makes a lot of sense. Right. But if you're looking for low cost conversions, and sometimes it doesn't make sense on our platform. Again, we really focus on, you know, B2B is a bread and butter, but high consideration B2C. Think about autos or luxury retail. We've even in past dabbled in certain companies where professional recognition is important. Right. So, you know, if you got a new job, hey, here's an advertiser, insert Cartier to sell you a watch to recognize this achievement, right? And so there is a room for B2C on our platform, but if you're selling a can of Coke on the platform, probably not as effective, right?
Okay, so here's the real question.
Yeah.
LinkedIn employees, Facebook employees, Twitter employees, do you get along or is this like competition every day?
I like to think we get along really well. A lot of my friends are actually Facebook employees, Twitter employees, Pinterest employees. And again, I think there is a space for all of the different platforms, right? I'm not saying, hey, you should advertise on one versus the others. But when we are at a, you know, client-sponsored sporting event, there is a little bit of competition when we wear our own logos to compete at soccer.
The Snapchat team's totally winning the soccer game. Come on.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's come back to the whole point of what I really want to get to in terms of helping my audience tactically, a little bit about some of the skills and tips around really proper networking and how LinkedIn fits into that. There's a lot of things that people will advise individuals to do when they're thinking about networking in the offline world. Sitting at the desk, making a target list, identifying companies and people in certain roles that they want to reach out and talk to. Setting a minimum number of outbound calls per day, really a process, we'll call it, to maximize on the opportunity, whatever the outcome, whether it's sales, whether it's getting a job, whether it's career transition. So when you think about LinkedIn being the digital platform for that type of process, what are some of the things that you've seen people do that really stand out as like, wow, best practices? And here's a tip for a feature. Why aren't any of those built into the platform in terms of that career transition services, given how many people use it for that anyway?
Yeah. Well, to answer your second question, it's certainly something that we are thinking about and hopefully working on the back end. But from a, you know, to answer your first question, I think you're absolutely right. Like there are so many ways that you can leverage the platform to get a lot of value out of it, whether it be get a job, network, et cetera. I think, you know, if we take your profile as an example, things that you've done really well to stand out, you have a completed profile. That's probably the number one tip that I give anyone who's looking for LinkedIn advice is to make sure that you have a great profile, right? It's kind of like going to a meeting and making sure you put your best foot forward in what you look like and how you're prepared. Having a profile is really, really important, because once you start engaging with people in groups on content, the likelihood that they're going to click through to your profile to see what you're about is very high. And so you want to make sure that you have a completed profile. You know, I like your profile picture. I like that you included a background image. You know, not, I like the image. I don't know why I like the image. It is a great conversation starter, though. You know, reaching out to you and saying, hey, Corby, I love your background image. Like, why'd you think of it? You know, what does it mean to you? I've started lots of conversations with different folks based on what they put on the background image, because it gives me a little bit more context into who they are. I think, you know, within your profile, you have listed multiple job experiences there. And we know on the platform, if you actually have more than one position listed, you're 12 times more likely to get viewed, right? And you're actually 5 times more likely to get connection requests if you have listed experience there. Education and training, I see that you've listed those as well, right? And again, you're 10 times more likely to get views if you have that, the education or training certifications within your profile. So there's a lot of reasons why you should have a completed profile. So it certainly helps you put your best foot forward, but it also helps give people context into who you are and why they might want to engage. One other thing within your profile that I love is your summary, right? So you describe a lot of your experiences and your skills and how you can help companies, but then you end it with some personal, right? You like interesting socks. You have 2 kids. And that, again, gives me a little bit more context into who you are. And, you know, coming from someone who literally, I look at profiles, hundreds of profiles a week, you really stand out as someone who, hey, like beyond your experience and your skills, you're someone I actually think I know a little bit more about and would like to get to know more.
I appreciate that. I'll give a few tips. My current background image was an idea that I essentially borrowed from a graphic designer who, when I was searching best examples of LinkedIn background images, it was something similar. And for those of you that haven't seen mine, feel free to go to my profile, Corby Fine on LinkedIn. The second thing, though, the personal stories at the end of my summary. So really interesting set of experiences with regards to that. So I do, if you've read it, I give my Myers-Briggs results, ENTP. I've done it 3 times. It's never changed. I talk a little bit about my hobbies. I do play in a band. I'm a drummer. And I do actually say that I like funky socks. And tying that back to the LinkedIn sales platform, I've probably in the last 6 or 7 years received over 12 pair of socks in the mail just from a perspective of, will you please have a meeting with me? And as an individual, the feeling that I get, whether I like the socks or not, and trust me, half the socks I don't like, but whether I like the socks or not, the feeling that you get of like, wow, like someone took the time to read, to research, to personalize an experience for me. I mean, I know the notion of like handwritten notes at the end of an interview or at the end of a meeting and mail it like old school because people feel like, wow, that's special. But imagine getting a pair of like hot pink socks going, yeah, wow, that's pretty special.
Yeah. Imagine getting a pair of socks with ENTP on it, right? And so again,
that,
you know,
that hasn't happened yet.
It might. But I think, again, you know, the more that you put on your profile, it actually gives people opportunities to figure out what they might have in common or how they might connect with you, right? So having one is so important. And then beyond that, it's, again, you know, you said earlier, you're a super user on the platform. And I agree, right? You're constantly out there commenting, liking, sharing content on the platform and really engaging with the community. You know, I think in the last several months, I've seen a lot of what you've been doing on the platform and you've really stayed top of mind, right? Because every day I see something from Corby pop up in my feed and then I can read that and see, you know, hey, like he's thinking about his podcast today. That's awesome. Let me go and check it out.
Well, at least I haven't pushed over the line to kind of disturb you, which brings me to my sort of next and kind of getting to the end question, which is, so of all of the good things you see people do, what are some of the pitfalls? What are the things that people should absolutely never, ever, ever shoot themselves in a foot by doing on the LinkedIn platform?
Yeah. So I'll caveat this with everyone's going to have a different opinion. So I'll share with you the ones that I definitely stop and say, I can't believe you did this on the platform. And we'll start with lying. You know, we talked about not good to lie on the platform. This is your professional identity of record. I think folks who, again, you know, have an account and they engage, but they don't have a completed profile, right? There are lots of folks in my network where they make a really interesting comment on someone's post and I click on their profile to see, hey, who is this person? How do I know them? Where do we connect? And, you know, when I land on their profile, there's nothing there. There's no profile picture. And that one especially is helpful, right? Again, we know on LinkedIn, you're 21 times, you get 21 times more views by having a profile picture, but it also gives someone context into, hey, how do I know this person? Right. So not having a completed profile is annoying to me. I think you touched on it, maybe the overshare. There's folks who share really good content and regularly, right? I know folks that share content daily, but it's relevant. It has a point of view. I may not agree with the point of view, but I do appreciate the point of view there. And then there's the overshares where they have, you know, 5-10 pieces of content every single day that you don't know why they're sharing it. It's not helpful content. There's no point of view. It's just content for the sake of sharing content. So that's also probably a big no-no. And again, you know, I think when I think about the platform, it is different for every person. You know, we know the mindset of people who come onto LinkedIn is more aspirational. They're there to connect, to stay informed, to network, to be more productive and successful. And so when I see derogatory comments or just really negative comments on the platform, it really irks me. Again, you know, people come onto the platform for different reasons. You don't have to engage or come if it's not the place for you, but it's certainly not a place that I think people should post comments that they might post as an anonymous user on some other platform. Doesn't happen often, but you know, once in a while you get it.
Yeah, those are really great pitfalls to avoid. The two other things that I'll summarize as tips that I often do, I often find that LinkedIn's a great platform for that strategic business development, the research and insights. And when you go and you look at who's connecting to who, when you see where new groups and pockets of people are starting to form, you can start to envision the reasons for why that's happening. You know, is company A having a conversation with company B about a sales opportunity? Is a vendor reaching out to certain industries to try and tackle how to get in on that industry? You know, as a salesperson, it's incredibly powerful. And as an employee of an organization, it also allows you to start to say, like, where should I be focusing my efforts because my competitors are? So I think there's a really big sort of underutilized skill set in terms of how people can take advantage of that platform. The second thing is how to use personal connections to your advantage. And so with the tens and hundreds of millions of people on the platform on a global basis, how do you find that, you know, one or two people that you know that might be willing to make that introduction for you? So coming back to what we talked about earlier, which is whether or not, you know, you should just accept everyone or not, to your point about how to make the best introduction, when you have someone in between that's going to help you do it, you're basically just doing something that's been done for centuries and you're putting it into an online platform.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the best ways to get those introductions are really understand who you want to connect with and why. And then, you know, I always look to see, hey, you know, Corby's connected with someone that I'm not, that I want to have a conversation with. How do I actually enlist Corby to make that introduction and give him a reason why? You know, I want to meet person X because they have experiences in this thing that I care about. Hey, Corby, can you make that introduction? So really leveraging the power of your connections, seeing who they're connected to. That's one way. I was chatting with someone earlier today and they, a student right out of school who, to your point, has mastered how to leverage LinkedIn to make it work for them to get a job, right? So they came to me and they said, hey, these are the 10 jobs that I want. And I noticed that you are connected into these 10 companies at this level with this person specifically. Do you feel comfortable making an introduction for me and letting them know that I have applied for this job, right? So again, there are lots of folks who understand how to leverage the power of the platform and the connections on the platform to get a job, to get information, to get career counseling, whatever it may be.
How to leverage the power of the platform is the perfect title for what this podcast is all about. And in my podcast interview with Erica M that I just did recently, there was a quote that I gave her, which is, "My grandmother always told me that you don't get if you don't ask." And I think that completely applies to the topic we're talking about right now, which is that introduction. And if you have someone that can play the intermediary, don't be nervous, don't be afraid. The worst is somebody can just say, "I'm not comfortable doing that." But otherwise, you may as well take advantage and take your chances.
Absolutely. And if you make it easy for them too, right? So not just, "Hey, Corby, can you introduce me to this person for no reason?" But, "Hey, I want to have a conversation with them about this career. Can you make that introduction?" It makes it really easy for you to actually tee up a note to them if you're comfortable doing so. But to your point, you know, someone could say no or not respond to you at all, but that's the worst that can happen.
So with me today again, Diana Liu from LinkedIn Canada, someone that I've known and admired for many, many years. And to summarize the top five ways to be successful with LinkedIn as a platform: one, just have a completed profile, like fill it in, put all the content, don't forget your picture. It's really, really important. And every one of those variables is going to increase the likelihood that that connection that's going to come in next is going to be meaningful and valuable for you. Background images, they can be a great conversation starter. So take the time to think about what you want your personality to be represented by. Feel free to take a look at mine. I did not invent it. I borrowed the idea from someone else, but as many senior executive will say, you don't always need to be the creator. You just need to do things differently or better. Job experience is number three. Make sure that all of the different titles and roles and responsibilities are listed. Don't skip things. Don't have major gaps. And make sure that you're explaining what you did in a simple way that people can understand it. Four, if you've got good education and training, don't be afraid to share that. No matter what stage of your career, what you've learned and the background you have helps to define who you are as a person. And finally, your summary. As mine has done for me, it gets me free socks. So think about what you want out of your relationship on LinkedIn and put it in your summary, because I mean, maybe I should have changed it to wine or beer, but unfortunately I'm stuck with the socks. So my feet will be warm, and on a cold winter's night, I will pay for my drink. But those are some really great tips. So Diana, is there anything else you wanted to add to that list?
Well, I think you should go and update your summary with some of the new things that you enjoy. I think, again, you know, with any platform, just get on there, do a little bit of it at a time. You don't have to do all five at once, but get on there and see what the platform has to offer. It's such a powerful tool that can, again, help you be more productive and successful in your career and life.
Well, Diana, thanks for spending the time with me today. I know that my listeners are going to have learned a lot about the power of the LinkedIn platform. And we wish you all the success in the continued years of servicing a great company and a great set of advertisers and constituents in your business. So thank you very much.
Yeah, Corby, thanks so much for having me. And I'll definitely throw you a like on this one and all of your other posts.
Been listening to Fine Tune. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. You can connect with me on Twitter at @cfine, through LinkedIn at @corbyfine, or visit my website corbyfine.com. Fine Tune is produced by me, Corby Fine. Thanks for listening.